The fact is, according to the CDC, indoor dining is considered a high-risk activity for the spread of the coronavirus because it invites people from different households into the same space, and you need to remove your mask to eat or drink anything. We're talking about what restaurants are going through here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Do you work in a restaurant? How is it doing? Do you have enough PPE? What precautions have you taken? And is it enough to keep patrons safe and the restaurant afloat? It's 800-642-1234. Dan Jacobs is co-owner and head chef of Dan Dan and Esther Ev in Milwaukee. Dan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. We also have Luke Zahm here, chef and owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He's host of Wisconsin Foodie and PBS Wisconsin. Luke, welcome back.
Hey, thank you so much. It's good to be here.
Well, you know, we've talked with you periodically about how your restaurant is doing through this pandemic. Can you bring us up to date? How is it currently?
Sure. I have a hard time saying anything too definitive because I definitely feel like there are my brothers and sisters in the hospitality industry that are really taking shots right now. The Driftless Cafe is okay. To this point in the year, we have lost more than half of our yearly revenue. And, of course, the first round of PPP and the EIDL funds that were released as part of the CARES package has sustained our payroll. But, you know, coming through the fall season and going into the winter, usually we try and keep about 12 weeks of cash in the bank in order to sustain us through the first quarter, which is notoriously difficult in Wisconsin. And right now we're down at about 5.5 weeks of cash left. Mm. So we are definitely starting to come to the end of the tunnel. And, you know, we're struggling with a lot of really difficult decisions. What does it look like moving forward?
Yeah. Dan, how about you in Milwaukee? What can you tell us about your operations?
Our operations have been incredibly difficult. We haven't received, you know, the guidelines and really the support that we kind of expect in times of crisis from the governments, federal, state, even to a certain extent, our local government. You know, in times of crisis, that's what government is for. Without any sort of sustained support from the federal government, i.e. grants, not loans, we are going to be in a world of hurt. You're going to see an extinction-level event of local restaurants. And it's frustrating because I really do feel like this is mostly avoidable, with just help. And it doesn't really seem like people are hearing, you know, what we're saying. Independent restaurants account for, 11 million people across the country that work for them, and then another 5 million people that, just work outside of them, like fisheries, bakers, butchers.
Yeah. They're all these feeder organizations, if you will.
We're an economic ecosystem we're at the center of that economic ecosystem for a vast, network of different things. I mean, going all the way to like carpenters, plumbers, electricians, to truck drivers that drive food around the country, and then all those people that they touch. And, I don't think people realize that if you have like a grand collapse, and this is just the monetary part of it, we're not even talking about the social part of it, which, restaurants are the gateway to cultures, to neighborhoods. They're people's first and last jobs in the workforce. These jobs are going to disappear, and, we're going to be left with a landscape. And this is my greatest fear is we're going to end up losing our independent restaurants that really make our states, our cities unique, are going to be replaced by Applebee's and Olive Gardens, because that's what's going to be left to pick up the pieces that, are left out here. We've already lost 1 in 6 restaurants. You're looking at losing another, 75% of restaurants without any sort of sustained help. Even with the help that they're talking about offering right now, it's just not enough. I mean, you're giving us, with, let's say the PPP goes through again, you're giving us a 10-week solution, stopgap solution to really what's going to be over a year of lost revenue. What am I supposed to do with that?
So is Esther Evan Dandan open right now? What is your status?
So we're open. We're doing dine-in. We took, we asked our staff if they wanted to do dine-in service. We could continue doing this, but we were willing to invest the money that it was going to cost to, what we believe, to make it safe. And they wanted to do it. So me and Dan invested over $20,000 in a filtration system for our HVAC partitions. Those Dyson air blades, mm-hmm. just to get air to circulate around. What we've created, I think, is, as safe as can be, but is it truly safe? Probably not. But again, how am I supposed to go to my creditors or my landlord and ask for any sort of, abatement when the government hasn't told us, the state government hasn't been like, you guys need to shut down? Without that sort of leadership and without that sort of, mandate in place, they
guidance.
Just look at us and go, well, you chose to shut down. Sorry. But effectively, I have a 5,000 square foot restaurant that really is only using about 1,000 of it, which is the kitchen. I mean, we saw our numbers dwindle, to 50% during the summer, and then we lost probably another 20%, when the weather turned, because the consumer doesn't have the confidence to come in, and I don't blame them.
Yeah, yeah. I want to reintroduce you here. Dan Jacobs, co-owner, head chef of Dandan in Milwaukee. It's a Chinese-American restaurant. Luke Zahm is owner and chef at the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, host of Wisconsin Foodie and PBS Wisconsin. We're discussing what the pandemic is doing to the restaurant community with your insights as well, 800-642-1234. Luke, what strikes me is that there's not a manual for this. How do you learn what to do for your business to respond to COVID? How do you know what is the right move to make? I mean, are there bankers helping you make these decisions? Are there public health experts? Like, how do you know how to make the right decision right now as a business owner?
That's a really tricky and complex question. And I think that there's a couple different answers. First and foremost, I have to give a shout out to the WEDC and Missy Hughes, the CEO of the organization, because the WEDC was the one to first publish the guidelines for what this might look like moving through the pandemic. And additionally, they've actually come up with a source of grants for restaurateurs that do help a specific subset of restaurants in the state of Wisconsin. That has not gone unnoticed. I want to shout out to that. But everything else, the structure, to be quite fair, is restaurateurs calling each other. I talk to Dan on the phone once a week, maybe once every other week, and I have a few restaurateurs that I'm popping in on, just checking to see how it's going or what they know or what we hear. And quite honestly, the reality is this. If 8 out of 10 restaurants, independently owned restaurants, are going to go out of business, there's going to be a lot of us who've learned a lot about networking. We've learned a lot about the political system. We've learned a lot about how these government structures run. If we're suddenly out of work, you can bet that we are going to look to that sector in order to, number one, find employment, but number two, make some substantial changes to the system that kind of failed us, quite frankly. I feel very, very strongly that no guidelines from health departments, state agencies, or even federal agencies, you left us, a sector of the American economy, to fend for ourselves. And you told us that basically whatever you feel is the right way is the right way. I can't even submit an insurance claim for things that are legitimate right now without the state saying, you had a mandated shutdown, you have to shut down. I can't do anything. So it puts business owners, 11 million Americans actually, that are employed in this economy, in this peril of, we either decide to shut down voluntarily and take our lumps, or we decide we're going to fight it out until we're forced to close. It's really frustrating.
Looking at restaurant modifications here for a moment, Luke, I know during the stay-at-home order, you got some carpenters in, you were doing some changing in your restaurant. How much have modifications cost, and have they helped at all?
Sure. Yeah, of course they've helped. I mean, anything you can do to create the feeling of safety and security for people coming in. You know, dining, specifically dining at the Driftless Cafe, is all about, you know, being able to relax and really take in the experience. So anything that we could do, spending $20,000 in order to, like, make that dining room feel safer, to make that dining room feel more intimate, that helps. But, you know, restaurants are basically built on a matrix of number of people in the seats per night, per hour. And that's how you generate a return and hopefully a profit. Notoriously, restaurants usually average about 5% profit per year. That's the national average. So now if we're asking people to cut their restaurant capacity, in some cases, you know, to a small fraction, 25%, 10% of what they normally see, there's really no way you can pivot, keep everyone employed, and continue to move forward with any hope of not losing your shirt. It's, you know, the modifications, they help. And again, I just want my staff, I want my community, and I want my diners to feel like this is a safe haven. But as an owner, it's like bleeding to death by a thousand cuts.
We have restaurant owners, Luke Zahm, we have Dan Jacobs here. They're discussing the business challenges in the COVID crisis facing the restaurant industry. Dan is head chef of two Milwaukee restaurants. Luke owns the Driftless Cafe in Rorokwa. Are you a restaurant worker who has had hours cut or been laid off due to the pandemic? Have you received unemployment assistance? Do you enjoy dining out? How has that changed? How do you tip now, by the way? Still time to talk about this. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about the pandemic pressures felt by restaurants. The CDC says to check a restaurant's COVID prevention practices before you go. They advise that you check the restaurant's website, social media, to see if they've updated their information to address COVID safety guidelines. And before you go, they say call and ask if all staff are wearing masks. We have Luke Zahm, the host of Wisconsin Foodie and PBS and restaurant owner in Viroqua. We have Chef Dan Jacobs, co-owner of two Milwaukee restaurants, and they're with us for 10 more minutes. Dan, you recently spoke with President-elect Joe Biden through a virtual event about the crisis and how it's affecting restaurants. What type of federal aid do you think is needed at this point?
You know, first I want to thank the Main Street Alliance here in Wisconsin for giving me the opportunity to speak with the president-elect. You know, as far as, you know, what we need, you know, if we had at the Independent Restaurant Coalition that put forward the Restaurant Act, it had widespread bipartisan support. It was part of Nancy Pelosi's House bill that the Senate kind of struck down. And it is not included in the new $908 billion package that the House, that the Senate kind of did or kind of finished up yesterday and they're circulating. You know, what we need, if that's not going to be, the Restaurant Act is dead. What we need is we need to expand the maximum loan amount to 9 months of payroll for restaurants rather than 10 weeks, because it's just 10 weeks is just not enough. And we've lost so much money. I mean, we've lost over 50%, we've lost over 50% of our revenue from 2019 to 2020 just at Dandan, and this doesn't include one other restaurant and bakery that we closed in June. We used to have four locations, now we have two. We used to have 97 employees, we now have 24. You know, these are things. These are real numbers. You know, restaurants need the ability to use that funding for more than just, you know, the five things it covers. We needed to be able to help with our cost of goods, funding for outdoor spaces, PPE, and then other outstanding business bills just beyond payroll.
Just hemorrhaging cash. Yeah.
Yeah, man. We're just literally, I mean, we probably have enough cash on hand to get through till March right now. But, you know, we're going to have to make more significant changes. And, you know, with the lack of closures and the fact that, you know, the pandemic or, you know, the disease is kind of spiking again, we're looking at like a perfect storm of loss of revenue, which is eventually going to cause a loss of employment. And there doesn't seem to be any great UI options out there. I mean, basically, we're keeping our team on because I know they can't survive on less than $300 a week. But at some point, you know, we're not going to be able to survive either.
What do you do, Dan, to make your patrons relax in this environment and enjoy the meal before them? How can you create a more relaxed atmosphere when there are all of these strains around?
Well, let's be honest, it's not the same. You know, it's the vibe and the feel of the restaurant is nowhere near what it used to be. I mean, part of the attraction to going to a restaurant like Dan Dan was the fact that it was busy, it was crowded, it was loud, there was noise. That's just not the case.
Yeah,
we just can't recreate that, and we can't have that. I can't have 100 people in there at once. That would be a dangerous situation. It's very hard to kind of recreate that. We kind of explain to them, as we seat them, what our expectations are as far as how we're going to, how this is going to work out and, you know, what they need to do and what we're going to provide them. But at the same time, going out to eat is, and I think Luke touched on this, man, it's an escape from the everyday life. And right now, you know, if I can offer an hour and a half of, you know, maybe what once was for, you know, a couple minutes here and there, I'm happy with that. But really, like, every time somebody comes up to the table, you got to put your mask up. It's not the same. It's almost impossible to try to recreate that.
We're looking at the challenges facing restaurant owners during the pandemic. We have Dan Jacobs, their chef and co-owner of Dan Dan and Esther Ev in Milwaukee. Luke Zahm owns the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. Still taking your calls, your questions about dining out, 800-642-1234. Luke, you sought aid for your employees through the Paycheck Protection Program, and now we've heard the Treasury Department and the IRS have said that these loans are taxable. How do you see that potentially affecting your business financially?
That's a good question. You know, thank you very little. That's kind of how I feel about it. Like, you asked me to take out another loan, and of course, you know, we needed to. Our financial advisors, what seemed like a really robust plan. But then, of course, you know, even on phone calls that I was on last week with Senator Johnson's office, the reason that he didn't feel comfortable passing a restaurant relief act was because there was so much flagrant abuse of the PPP. You can go online and you can look for businesses that took PPP unnecessarily. And quite frankly, it doesn't surprise me now that we're going to get lumped into that same category and get taxed for it when we are an industry that legitimately is suffering and dying. You know, my restaurant employs 50 people in a town of 4,362 and ends up being one of the tourism drivers. You know, why not tax them? And I say this with all sarcasm, because you have literally 11 million Americans. Most, actually, per economic sector, we employ the most minorities and the most women of any economic sector in America. Why not tax us? It feels like one more piece that's being added on the backs of the middle class, or even the people who are trying to work their way up. So, to be honest, like, I'm not surprised. I don't feel like our interests are being represented. I don't feel like there is a thought about all the cultural gatekeepers that independent restaurants provide. And, you know, quite frankly, at this point, we're just all rolling with the punches.
Dan, I'm wondering, the employees who no longer have work, what have they said about getting unemployment assistance? How are they doing?
So, I mean, we've kept in touch with some of our employees. And, you know, early on, I told these guys, because, I mean, I think we had the feeling early on that this was going to last longer than the federal government's 8 weeks or 10 weeks or President Trump's, you know, Easter holiday. We knew that this was going to last longer than that. And so I went out and told them, like, look, man, if you've ever thought about doing something else, this is the time to think about doing that, especially with the, when they had that extra assisted money. So a lot of them took jobs outside of the restaurant sector. And then we've just been trying to, you know, keep our guys, you know, keep whoever we can around doing like odd jobs. I mean, whether it's, you know, answering, I mean, we have a former server who's basically coming in and doing overnight because she feels uncomfortable being around people and serving people right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want her to, you know, I don't want to lose her, and I don't want her to, you know, feel, you know, like we're not listening to, you know, her feelings about it. So she does cleaning overnight, and then she also helps me answer emails and kind of runs our emails for the Milwaukee's Independent Restaurant Coalition and kind of gets information out to people. Because I genuinely feel like that's the right thing to do. I feel like, you know, again, I'm going to echo what Luke said, but I feel like the federal government's abandoned us and our employees. We're basically left here to fend for ourselves.
And I want to jump in here for just a moment because we're almost out of time. Luke, what can we as patrons do?
What you can do as patrons, first and foremost, I think right now, obviously, we come into the holiday season, you know, gift cards. If you want to see your restaurant survive, and I've said this when I was on the show previously,
mm-hmm.
you either choose us or lose us. And I can't be overdramatic enough about that. I really hope in my heart of hearts that people see the cultural effect that their independent restaurants bring to their communities and choose to reach out and support them right now. We need it. We need that. And even if it's an email saying like, hey, we see you, we've got you, we're still finding ways to be creative. We're still finding ways to pivot. We are still finding ways to have hope and get up in the morning and go to work and work hard because we care so deeply about what we do in the communities we serve.
Thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Luke Zahm, he is owner of Driftless Cafe in Viroqua, chef. Dan Jacobs, co-owner and head chef of Dan Dan and Esther Ev. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.